Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the dial and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, you can download the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. We're also now streaming live on the iHeartRadio app, as well as the TuneIn Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day.
Good day, Jeffrey. Just a reminder for everyone, if you want to come out and play some general knowledge trivia, if you guys tuned into a Writer Than Right trivia. By the way, how'd you do?
I did prevail today.
Redemption.
I made up for it. Kevin did put one category... It was like the choice was pass or port.
Okay.
So like he was trying to like at first I thought he was going to just see if like how many times he could make reference to a Honda Passport.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to really
just
rub it in.
Really.
Yeah, no. I thought,
salt you a little bit.
I thought he was a friend, but I guess not. But we did prevail. But we're on to, you know, we're about the process.
It's all about the process. Yeah. But come on down tonight, 7 o'clock to about 9 o'clock. Dan McGinnis in South Haven. We've got general knowledge trivia going on.
My company as he is every Thursday on the program. Writes about college football, college basketball for CBS Sports. Follow him on X at David W. Cobb. Cobb, we made it, buddy. We made it.
We made it. Great day, sir. You normally say it's a good day, sir.
Yeah.
I say it's a great day. College football officially back. When we get off the air 30 minutes from that moment, we will have a ranked college football team in action.
Have we checked the weather? Because George's family lives in Tampa. I just feel like every time we have a game, like it's either Tampa or Orlando. And I think, Alex, I think it's supposed to pour in Tallahassee on Saturday. Like, I just always think of UCF and USF, if they open at home, like we're having a lightning delay at some point.
It looks clear. George might have more insight, but as of now, it looks clear, which is great for Boise State because they can't just turn around and hand it to Ashton Jeanty. They might actually have to throw it around some. So it bodes well for the Broncos.
If I have any insight, saw some pictures posted by USF, some pictures of Raymond James. It's looking pretty clear. Weather forecast looks good for today. They're lucky they're not playing this weekend, though. It looks like it's going to be pouring from about Friday to Tuesday down
in
Tampa.
Who's ESPN's Thursday night crew? Because this used to be Mullen and Barry, which I actually thought was a criminally underrated crew. And we'd
they had really good chemistry.
They had good chemistry. And then not only do they have good chemistry, you and I would just love it because clearly like 90% of that job for them was just going and eating and playing golf.
Yeah, so it is Matt Barry, but he's got Tom Luckenbill with
Luke's
him tonight and Harry Lyles Jr. from the sideline.
So Harry's on the sideline. Luckenbill will be the color analyst. I mean, this is huge, Cop, because I know we got a taste last week, but there's a few things that I love about the early part of watching football. Number one, trying to figure out whether or not Fansville, did Dr. Pepper do it again? We got it. We got a taste on last Saturday. They have an incredibly high batting average. Like, I keep waiting for those things to kind of jump the shark and stop being at least mildly amusing. They're always pretty funny.
Yeah, we need like Joey Aguilar and Nico Iamaleava doing some sort of like, you know, I don't know, transformation or whatever from UCLA to Tennessee. You know, that there's something
there. I did like the last year when the Boz was asking Quinn if he needed backup.
Yeah,
backup. No, I don't need backup. I enjoyed that. So we've got that. We'll do the tasting menu to start. Eric's going to join us here around 2:40. We'll get into the list. USA Today has come up with they have polled their writers and columnists for the most powerful people in college football. I wanted to discuss that with Cobb. Jason Smith's going to join us at 3:30. Then we'll tell your story and we'll get out of here. But for the first time in 2025, Cobb, let's fire up the tasting menu. As you mentioned, we start in Tampa, Florida, Raymond James Stadium, Boise, taking on USF. That is our 4:30 game. Then we have at 5 o'clock, we have Ohio at Rutgers over on Plus. I know everybody had this. We got Lafayette and Bowling Green. 6 p.m. ACC Network, East Carolina at NC State. Then at 6 p.m. over on Plus, we've got Scott Frost's re-debut.
Yeah, that one could get interesting.
How do we call that? Well, this is the other thing I was talking about with. So, I presume Jacksonville State got raided when Rich left.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. So, I don't think Jacksonville State is super well equipped to go in there and beat them. But I mean, the UCF is going to be bad, and you never know, right? Like, I could see that one getting interesting. Like, that's pretty high on my interesting potential outcomes tonight. Is Jacksonville State beating UCF? It would be hilarious.
We also have this line is one of those lines. I don't think I've ever seen this. Have you ever seen Louisiana Monroe laying 31?
And this is probably a first. I had to find. I mean, there's so very few teams that you are legally allowed to schedule over whom they would be favored by that much.
So Tim was pointing this out earlier this week. Is that we did confirm that's the St. Francis that's moving to D3, correct?
Oh wow, you're right.
Remember in the basketball tournament, like they were explaining, like, and his point was like, man, if they can't fund a basketball program, what do you think their football players look like?
Right. No kidding. Yeah. So, and plus they've had enough warning now to where anybody who was anyone could go and get in the portal and leave that program. So I would actually think Monroe could maybe cover that.
They
always have the best quarterback. I think the quarterback is a Goose Crowder. I think General Booty has moved on, but I think it might be Goose Crowder.
Yeah. I feel like they have to have a quarterback with a nickname. You got your Phil Steele. I was trying to look up and see if Monroe's ever been favored by 30 points or more.
I gotta think the answer to that is no. I mean, there's no way, right? My lasting memory of Louisiana Monroe is in roughly 2002 circa. Tennessee beat them 70-3, and that's just always kind of stuck with me as their identity.
All right, so I'm going to game logs, betting, as I use Cobb's credentials on True Media. Let's see.
It's Aiden Armenta, so Goose Crowder might be at another institution.
Okay, Goose
Crowder is at Troy. He's at Troy.
I give them credit. They have been favored in the True Media era, which I believe dates back to 95, Cobb, they have been favored by 40 points against Nicholls State in 2015. They did cover. They won 47-0. And then they were favored by 45 over Grambling in 2013. They did not cover that line. It was 48-10.
But they're 1-1, and they were pretty close in that second game. So, I mean, yeah, look at the Warhawks tonight.
That line also, I think, has been dancing.
Hey, look, I mean, the head coach there is also now the AD, so he's got a lot on his plate.
Well, like, that's the other thing. And it wasn't like a power struggle. It was like they really like the coach, and it was they had to make a financial decision. We can't keep our athletic director and our football coach. We like our football coach. We're making like we have to do budget cuts.
Yep. Yeah, that's rough. But,
like literally, think about this. We had an athletic director get laid off, and it wasn't like a PR spin.
You know, somebody should have sponsored this game tonight. It should be the budget cut bowl. St. Francis is dropping down to D3 playing against Louisiana Monroe, whose head coach is now their AD.
I mean,
surely there's some payday lenders.
I was
going to
say, but surely if you're like H&R Block,
MoneyGram.
Like, yeah, just anyone that like wants to make sound financial decisions should be sponsoring that game.
When that one is on the plus, like, you know, we're going to be pretty well covered up this year. Like, there's going to be very few games involving FBS opponents that are not findable in 2025 when Monroe and St. Francis PA are on the plus.
Yeah. So we also on the plus tonight have Wyoming and Akron. I have Wyoming in a moneyline parlay. So that's a game that I hope I don't have to watch. You know what I mean? That's the one that you just want the stat broadcast up just to make sure. Like, hey, Wyoming, I don't want to have to check in on you. You know what I mean?
Well, the annoying thing about tonight is that Michigan State is on FS1. And then
that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow.
Oh, that's tomorrow. Yeah, but tonight is Nebraska, Cincinnati. No. Is everything on the ESPN family tonight? No.
We have Minnesota
and Wisconsin are not on the ESPN family tonight. So we got two games there involving Big Ten teams that are going to require you to, get off the ESPN app a little bit.
So Fox is not doing their Thursday night game? I thought they always like start the year where they give us like North Carolina and Minnesota.
Yeah, Nebraska Cincinnati feels like it should be a Fox game, but it's a ESPN game.
So did Cincinnati give up the home game?
Well, this one's in Kansas City, which is great for Dylan Raiola because he gets to take his cosplay of Pat Mahomes.
No, it's just here. It's God's fault.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. God made him look like him. It's like, feels kind of a stretch, buddy. Like, yeah, I guess if you like make your look into someone, you can say you look like him. But like, it's weird.
Well, yeah, I don't think God made Dylan Raiola imitate everything that Patrick Mahomes has ever done. They may have some slight resemblance that is, you know.
Why would Cincinnati agree? So if the game's on ESPN, that means it has to be a Big 12. It's the Big 12 TV rights. Meaning,
yeah, so, who benefits from playing in Kansas City? I mean, that's still a solid 6 hours probably from Lincoln. Like, I don't get it.
But if you're Cincinnati, why would you give up the home game? It was like Nebraska. The only way I guess you do that, did Nebraska do what Missouri did to Memphis a couple of years ago where that contract was written like 15 years ago before everyone had the buyouts that were like $1.5 million, $2 million. Like Memphis was only going to get like, if I recall, it's only going to be like 150 grand or something. Like it was a number where Missouri's like, yeah, we're letting you know we will be terminating that. And then they moved it.
We'll do it. We'll play it in a neutral. You know, we don't want to lose the game. Yeah. All that nonsense. Yeah, that's the most maddening thing to me about week one in college football is the neutral site environments. Like, I would rather Tennessee go and play in the Carrier Dome or whatever they call it now.
It's like a wireless company that I've never heard of.
Yeah, JMA Wireless.
Yeah. I will say though, I think everybody's catching on. Like, this does feel like one of the least amount of neutral site week ones that we've had.
Yeah, it's still enough to be a nuisance. But thankfully, like
we don't have
State,
a Vegas
Texas,
game, do we?
No, I don't think so. The big ones are mainly like at true home stadiums: LSU, Clemson's, and Clemson, Ohio State, Texas is at Ohio State, Notre Dame. And
your mic unplugged. Mm-hmm. Now you're now coming through your computer.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if you got me. You got me.
Well, we can hear you. It's just now it's coming, like, whatever. Your mic went out. Mm. So I don't know. We can figure that out. All right, let's get to let's set the tasting menu tonight. So we got four TVs. TV one, we're starting with Boise State, South Florida. That has to be the obvious one. I guess for TV two, I've laid 37.5 with Missouri. They take on Central Michigan or Central Arkansas, beg your pardon. They will also be breaking in new quarterback. So I guess that's marginally interesting. Then I've also laid 22.5 with Oklahoma State. They play my mom's alma mater, UT Martin. And then
yeah,
I think
hey,
you're
that's from my I didn't know you both come from families of Skyhawks.
Oh yeah.
I figured you had Pepperdine lineage.
No. I'm a first timer. They were the Pacers back then.
They were the Pacers.
Yeah. I don't know why
the Skyhawks was Pacers offensive? Did they?
I don't know. I was wondering the same thing. Like, if it was offensive, the NBA wouldn't have a team called the Pacers, right?
Yeah. No, that's interesting. We should get into that sometime. But no, I think for me,
shout out Ben Hogan too.
Boise State, South Florida is going to be TV one for as long as it's interesting.
Yeah.
Which will hopefully be a long time because I mean that's a less than a touchdown spread. Boise State is the presumptive G5 favorite, but if they go out there and take an L, all of a sudden the American's going to be licking its chops, right? Like there's some real...
Do you agree with me from this perspective? Jeff asked me, I think if you're a Tiger fan, you're rooting for UCF tonight or USF tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that gives Boise... Boise's going to likely take a loss at Notre Dame, and now that gives them a second loss. It also gives them a loss to a team in your conference. And even though it's not apples to apples, Memphis plays USF, you could have the common data point.
I mean, it's the same thing in basketball. You need other teams in your league to go out there and perform in November and December during their non-conference slates. It's the exact same thing in football now because that G5 spot is going to the highest-ranked team, and you want your league to produce as many opportunities as possible against quality opposition. And if South Florida gets a dub tonight, it's like that long-awaited arrival for that program because we kind of thought Alex Golesh was going to get it going. I know he had a bad quarterback injury run last season, but, man, like, if they go out there and beat Boise tonight, it shifts the power. Look, think about how bad UNLV looked in week zero. And then if they were predicted to finish second in the conference behind Boise. So UNLV almost loses to an FCS team. And then if Boise were to lose tonight to South Florida, then all of a sudden people are talking about the American as the best G5 conference.
No, my overreaction on Monday was I really am concerned about the future of the Mountain West as a competitive enterprise.
Oh, I think it's Boise and then a massive gap before you get to anybody else.
I think the schools aren't committed, you know?
Well, and it's about to dissolve, too, because, you know, some of the better brands are going to break out into that Pac-12. And so it's, yeah, that league is, I mean, it's kind of a miracle it didn't fall apart even more than it did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is the swan song, man. This is it for that league right here.
Yeah, so I'm with you. Like, Boise cannot even be that good, and I think they're still going to win that league by default. Although I am flagging... I'm thinking about taking UNLV tomorrow. I've seen that Dan Mullen game before. That game one against a non-opponent that you think they're going to smoke. They end up like farting around. But then they're taking on Sam Houston, who was actually pretty respectable in that Western Kentucky game. Like they ended up losing by 17, but like they were down a couple scores early, fought all the way back, took the lead. Like they acquitted themselves nicely. But George has pointed out, they're playing in the Houston Dynamo Stadium, like an hour and a half away.
Yeah, their stadium is either under construction or being renovated or whatever. So,
I think it's being renovated while they're at an MLS stadium.
Yeah, I'm assuming when they moved up, they had to add some seats. Although that seems to be like the one place that's adding seats. Can I interest you in the maybe what could be the last win of the Trent Dilfer era?
You think it's going to be that bad this year, huh?
Never mind. So, take it back. They got Akron. FAU is probably winnable. They go to UConn. And they have Tulsa. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be another 4-8 there for UAB. Otherwise, tonight... One that I'm interested in is Buffalo in Minnesota. I think Buffalo actually has a shot here in this game. It's only a 17.5 point line, which by tonight's standards is pretty narrow. And Pete Limbo went 9-4. Former Memphis special teams coach Pete Limbo went 9-4 last season in his first year there. So
the only thing that gives me a little concern is in recent years, those MAC teams have really started like treating bye games like bye games, like, hey, we take our check and we get out of there and try to get healthy because, like, you know, everyone's trying to win the MAC, like win the league.
Well, but Minnesota's going to try to stuff them in a locker and run the ball 50 times.
Yeah.
And,
Minnesota doesn't have a brand that allows you to just blow the doors off.
Exactly, which means Buffalo can hang around. They get a couple turnovers. That one could get interesting. So
for those that really want to get gritty tonight, I'm thinking about maybe taking 20 points with Stony Brook late against San Diego State.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's under consideration. All right, let's go to tomorrow because tomorrow's Saturday, and like this is where it really starts to get meaty. Can I make a case to you that the third most interesting game of the week doesn't involve a ranked team?
Okay, Auburn Baylor, is that
yes.
where you're going?
Would you third most because we've got one versus two, like it has to be the most interesting,
well,
and then the battle of Tigers.
I can't get to three with Auburn and Baylor because in addition to Ohio State, Texas, you have LSU, Clemson, and then also Sunday you have Notre Dame, Miami.
Okay, but to me, here would be the case I would make. Both those teams can lose that game, and they're fine. I worry about if Hugh loses this game. I wonder if he makes the season.
Well, that's, I mean, exactly it. Three of their first five games are true road games. So before September is up, you got to play a couple of SEC roadies as well. So if the wheels start falling off this weekend, I mean, they might be all the way off. I mean, he could position himself to be the first coach fired in this cycle. That's not outside the possibilities here.
Can you explain to me the Baylor hype?
Well, they won their last six regular season games last year. They've got a 1,000-yard rusher back. They got their quarterback, Sawyer Robertson, back. So, I mean, that's what it is. It's a team that closed last season with momentum. And so you kind of fall in love with them in the offseason. And it's like you're looking at the Big 12. You're like, all right, who are we getting excited about in the Big 12? And I think the Iowa State-Kansas State game was kind of a letdown on both sides for people who were looking at either of those teams to be the Big 12 champion. And so you're going down the ballot, and it's like, all right, well, maybe Baylor's our team, right? So, and I think people have a hard time shaking that, like, early big season that Dave Aranda had. Was it his second year where they went, you know, they won, like, 11 games or something? And so
it was the first, like, it was the first full non-COVID year. So was that 20?
They went 12-2 in 21. And they've just been scratching and clawing and had been really strong. I mean, he looked like he might get fired last October. And then they reeled off six in a row. So, I mean, if you're looking at program momentum, Baylor has a whole heck of a lot more of it than Auburn does right now.
Yeah, my working theory, I'm trusting that a well-funded SEC roster is going to look better than a well-funded Big 12 roster.
You would think. I mean, Auburn's got everything it needs to go out there and put up 30-plus. It's just, can they get out of their own way? Are they going to shoot themselves in the foot? I mean, it's just they've been so turnover prone, so mistake heavy under Hugh Freeze that it's just hard to see them going in there and really gritting their way through a tough game on the road against an equally matched opponent. And I do think like Baylor is pretty close to evenly matched. I mean, I bet Auburn's got some more size and a little more depth up front, but I mean, Baylor's, they've got some guys like they've started spending like they there's a reason this is less than a field goal spread. And I mean, I'm with you. Like if Baylor wins, I mean, I think all of a sudden the perception around them changes dramatically. But if Auburn wins, it's like, all right, well then we'll see what Hugh Freeze can do this year.
Okay. So also tomorrow night, we will get our first look at Colorado post Travis, post Shiloh, post Shador. Let's see who else. I think that's the second most interesting game, Georgia Tech at Colorado. It's a 7 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. ESPN game. Congratulations to all the Auburn and Baylor fans out in the audience. YouTube TV, they did strike a deal with Fox temporarily, so they will not be using us as collateral so that they can get a sweeter deal. Yeah, there's not much after that. Like you said, we get Western Michigan and Michigan State. George pointed out, George put this in his week one draft. George wanted to have the first game at Pitbull Stadium on his board.
Absolutely.
FIU hosting Bethune-Cookman. All right, let's get to Saturday. The big one, Texas at Ohio State. Cobb, I love Texas so much in this game that I'm really close to betting Ohio State.
I mean, I'm leaning Texas as well. I find myself gravitating towards a lot of the SEC teams in these week one games.
They did. For those that want to give us SEC homers, week one last year, the SEC was 12-4 ATS.
Yeah. And I think Texas, I mean, there's a lot of questions on both sides here. Both these teams have a lot to replace. And yeah, they've recruited at a high level. They spend at a higher level than anyone else in the sport. So it's not a matter of whether or not they have the talent. Like, I firmly believe that whoever loses this game is still going to find a way to make the college football playoff. So in that sense, you could argue there's actually fewer stakes attached to this game. However, the viewership and the magnitude of it is going to be, I mean, just it's the biggest game of week one. And so, no, I mean, I'm leaning Texas. I don't really have a ton of like reasoning behind that other than, I mean, Arch Manning at least has a little bit more playing experience than Julian Sayin. And I know he's more mobile than Julian Sayin. And in a week one game where things are not probably operating as smoothly as you would like, some of that playmaking ability, the ability to make things happen with your legs when plays break down, you know, I could see Arch Manning really thriving in those moments where the week one chaos sets in and the receiver's not running the route that you thought he was going to run. And oh no, now I got to stretch for it, you know, with my legs. Like, you know, I get to see his playmaking ability being the difference in a close game.
Honestly, for me, what it boils down to is I think they've got a better coach and I think they have a better quarterback. And I know you and I have talked a little bit about it. I don't quite understand this growing movement that Arch stinks. I can't tell if like that's like an anti-Manning thing, if it's an anti-Texas thing or whatnot. It's like, I understand he has not played like the best defenses. He's immensely talented and he's with one of the elite play callers in all the country. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be the number one pick, but I just don't understand where this idea that he's going to stink is coming from.
No, he's been set up to succeed. Yeah. I think it comes from the fact that he didn't beat out Quinn Ewers last season, and some people have a hard time wrapping their minds around that.
And I guess I've justified that. I think Sark knew going into last year he needed the steady hand. And I think he promised Quinn, if you come back, you'll be my quarterback. You will be the quarterback. And he kept his word.
Like,
yes.
The wool wasn't pulled over Arch Manning's eyes. Like, he understood the situation.
He could have transferred, didn't transfer. Like, I don't know. Like, this is just, that one's bananas to me.
I think the other part of the Ohio State side that gives me a little bit of pause is this idea that Matt Patricia is going to step in as their defensive coordinator and immediately be able to match wits with Steve Sarkisian, who, yeah, he's been in the NFL before, but who's spent the majority of his career in college football, whereas Matt Patricia is kind of new to college football. Like, I don't know. Like, that to me is a very difficult coordinator assignment when you've been coaching in the National Football League for two decades, and now all of a sudden, you know, your first game, you're pitting wits against who is regarded right now as one of the best offensive minds in college football.
And if you think about it, last year when Wink Martindale took over at Michigan, Wink, like, Michigan's defense got better once Wink realized, like, okay, I can't do the NFL game plan. Like, I have to, like, I know what gives things college quarterbacks problems, and you just stick with that. I can see where there's an adjustment period for Patricia. I don't think Patricia's like a dum-dum, as long as he's not calling my offensive plays, but, like, I think there could be an adjustment period.
Yeah, Ohio State will get there. I just don't think they're going to be there ready out of the gate. I mean, they have home field advantage. That's the one thing that you really look at. But, I mean, the quarterback, as you mentioned, I mean, the quarterback battle, the head coaching battle, and then the Patricia element of it, it's just, it's a little bit too much for me, man. My one question with Texas is, like, How good are they on the perimeter offensively? I mean, what's
see, that I actually have the opposite question. How good are they up front? Because
yeah, fair. I mean,
look at the games that got them last year. They couldn't block Georgia. They couldn't block Ohio State.
Yeah. But that's where having a more mobile quarterback will help.
Yes. All right. Also at 11 a.m., we have Tennessee opening the season in Atlanta, taking on Syracuse. We also have Mississippi State, Southern Miss. Anything else in that early window? I think those would be my games in order. You good with
yeah,
that?
I mean, like everybody sort of vacated the slate to make way for Ohio State, Texas yeah. there.
All right. Then at 2:30, we've got Bama at Florida State. That South Dakota Iowa State game. I was saying this earlier, man. I can't think of a team I like fresh off the coming back from overseas. They play South Dakota play or Iowa State plays South Dakota, and then Kansas State plays North Dakota. Those are not the FCS teams I want to see right after that week.
No, jet lag, and then Iowa State's also looking ahead to next week. They got a rivalry game.
Farmageddon, yeah, or no, yeah. whatever the Asico.
Right, absolutely.
We've also got that's Memphis will take on Chattanooga at 3:30. All right, TV1 is Florida State, Alabama. Do you give Florida State a chance? Because I'm in this weird spot where I think everybody's just penciled Alabama through. That I'm like, what if this gets weird?
Yeah, I don't give Florida State a chance. I mean, I didn't rank Thomas Castellanos among my top 50 quarterbacks for a reason. My guy got benched at Boston College. Now he's teaming up with Gus Malzahn, and we're going to pretend it's 2006 again. And I just have a hard time seeing that work, especially after all the crap that he's talked. I mean, T.J. Finley from Western Kentucky was throwing shade at Alabama before the season opener last year, and Alabama went out and beat them 63-0. Florida State was no better last season than Western Kentucky, and I don't know that they really got all that much better. Like, yeah, they're probably going to go better than 2-10, but no, I mean, this is one of the few that I'm on. Like, I'm on Alabama, and I waited, and I could have had it at -13.5. Yeah. I had it at -14. I think Alabama wins and covers.
The midday slate is emphasis on the mid.
Yeah, I mean, what it is, it's like your first look. It's like
yeah,
your
this,
first
this
look
is
at Penn
this
State.
Is a lot of FCS games for teams.
Your first
that are...
look at Penn State, first look at Georgia, your first look at Oregon. I mean, that's kind of what the afternoon is about, and it would take a miracle for any of those games to get interesting.
All right, then we go to the night slate. So we got North Dakota at Kansas State. That's a plus game. UTSA at A&M. And then at 6:30, we've got LSU. We got the Battle of the Tigers and the Battle of Death Valley. LSU at Clemson. All right, so that's going to be the big game. Let's start with that. I don't get the Clemson can win a national title love. Has everyone forgotten last year? They played six games against teams with a winning record. They won two of them. It was SMU and Pitt, and they won them by a combined 7 points. Has everyone forgotten Louisville went into Clemson and absolutely wiped the floor with them? Like,
well,
my whole thing is if you're talking about them as a playoff team, okay, I have no problem with that. I just think this idea that all of a sudden, like, it's like them and Penn State. It's bananas to me.
Everybody talked themselves into Clemson because they got really good at stat padding last year.
Like, Jared to your Riley point, like, their most impressive moment was a second half against Texas in which they were down 21 and they still didn't even cover.
Right. I still have a hard time shaking the version of Clemson that we saw in week one against Georgia last year. And I think LSU is going to be good defensively this year. I don't think they're going to be great, but I think they're going to be good enough to keep Clemson from just running away with this thing. And if LSU can run the ball, that's my big thing with this game, with LSU kind of in general this season. Can they run the ball competently? Can they get ahead of the sticks and keep Garrett Nussmeier from having to play 60 minutes of
third and hero ball?
Yeah, exactly. If they can do that, I like LSU to win this game, you know, straight up. Like, they're 3.5-point underdogs, and that line just keeps growing. I think it was at 2.5 at one point. Then it was 3, now it's 3.5. So, I mean,
yeah,
I like LSU straight up.
I've decided congratulations to Baylor, congratulations to Ohio State, and congratulations to Clemson. Because it's like, those are the three games that I really feel good about, and there's just no way I'm right.
Yeah. The second most interesting game to me Maybe I'm forgetting one, but I think UTSA could be one of the better teams in the American. And
so
they're going to A&M.
I'm glad you mentioned that. In my mind, I'm like, UTSA could be frisky. Like, little brother going to A&M, like, could be a good spot to take some points. Without Frank Harris, Jeff Traylor, outside of AAC play, is 0-7 against the number. He is the classic, man, it goes to show, if you're a coach that's kind of like in that mid-tier, just be friendly to media and your name will get thrown around. Like, the body work's not that great.
Yeah, but if you really dive in and look
now,
at UTSA,
it's a tough job, too. I want to be very clear.
And they did a remarkable job of bringing talent back in a way that you just don't expect from an American school. So, I mean, I have Owen McCown ranked among the top.
Listen, I hope you're right, because I don't want to fall into the trap of I've taken the Texas A&M pledge this year where I'm not buying in. Like, I'm just fine. If I'm wrong this year, I'll miss it. I would prefer for them to, like, let me know early that, like, okay, I was right.
Oh, hey, I got an update on the UT Martin situation.
Uh-oh.
My mom says the Pacer was a horse. So, I mean, you know, that's not offensive, is it?
I don't. Was there something on the Pacer that was offensive?
maybe.
Like, was there someone riding the Pacer that might have been offensive?
I
don't know. Like, I'm asking. I have no idea. Like, why that? I have no idea.
Well, I'll dive in further during the break.
All right. Then we also have Notre Dame, Miami. We can talk more about that. And then we, of course, got Belichick's debut on Monday. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Eric Hasstein next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
ESPN. That music means we welcome the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer to the program. He, of course, is Eric Hasseltine. Eric, do you love anything on the board this week?
Dude, I'm literally going through that right now.
You got the card? Does it feel good?
No, I haven't. I haven't submitted my picks yet. I'm debating whether or not I want to include Boise State tonight or which I like, especially dropping to 5.5, or if I want to get in on Nebraska, Cincinnati. I mean, if Raiola is going to be Patrick Mahomes, now's the time to do it. I always in this week, like, so we have a group of us, and it's a large group now that do this pick league. You've helped me in the past. Always in this week, I look at games like, you know, the New Mexico playing Michigan,
oh, yeah,
getting 45 and just going, are they going to score against Michigan's defense? And Michigan could run up 50 points, no problem. Ole Miss being a heavy favorite, or are they just going to go out and just try to throttle a bad opponent to make a statement? And usually I was like, it's too many points late. And then you look up and it's like 62-0 in the third quarter. You're like, start kicking yourself. So, when the Grizzlies used to do something on their website or on Grind City, and Michael Wallace and Lang Whitaker ran it for a while, and we would just pick. And every year I would do pretty well. Like I won it like two straight years, and I think it came in second the next year because you just didn't think. Like inevitably I would say, oh, they're due today at 11. Okay, I'm just taking this. What I find is I am like Captain Chalk. I am the chalkiest of chalk, the super chalk that doesn't wash off the sidewalk when you draw on your street. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean,
that's not good with picking underdogs.
Well, that's,
I don't know how people do it.
That's the other thing is that, you know, Kirby Smart, when favored, I looked it up this morning. It was Kirby, when he's favored by 38 or more at Georgia, is 0-11 and 1 against the number. But
so
it's
there
like,
was one. There was one year, and I knew just because I knew the situation, and it was, man, it had to be 15 years ago because Chris Peterson was still at Boise.
So before
and they
Washington.
They played UC Davis, my alma mater, and it was going to be on TV. And it was like a 37-point
line. By the
way,
didn't Peterson go to Davis too?
Yes, that's exactly what I told people. I said, there is a 0% chance he runs up the score on the guy he worked with. That basically helped him get with Dan Hawkins from Davis to Boise because they both went from Davis on to bigger, brighter things. The head coach at Davis at the time was a guy named Bob Biggs, who since retired, who was my head coach when I was calling games there and couldn't have been a better guy. And everybody loved Coach Biggs. So I'm like, Peterson may get up like 28-0 and then literally take three knees every possession.
Yeah, like
and just
inside
give Davis
zone.
A chance to run.
Yeah,
inside handoffs. They're not going to throw the ball. If you have a chance at an interception, somehow don't catch it. Don't pick it for a pick six. Just, you know, we're not here to humiliate these guys. This is like my brother. Like, I'm not here to run it up on them. So, and I get it. Like, it's a different time now, but that was the one time I was like, there's no, and I, of course, I don't wager real dollars. So I was like, oh man, that would have been the time where I should have just taken the mortgage and said, let's see if we can skip a mortgage payment this month and win it instead. So, but yeah, I have a heart, like I can see where, cause Kirby Smart's that kind of guy. I'm wondering about Belichick and how his message resonates with kids and his debut, and TCU is always that sneaky team. You never know if they're going to be good or not. They've obviously, you know, they were awesome a couple of years ago and made that deep run and then got throttled. But, you know, are they going to spoil that party? It's an interesting week. I mean, obviously the big game is Texas, Ohio State, and I wouldn't touch that one because you're looking at two brand new quarterbacks and how much pressure is on Arch Manning. Is he built for it? You would think so. You would think with that lineage and growing up around it, that this is, he's just like, hey, it's just a football game. I'm going to go out and do my best, but he hasn't faced anybody like Ohio State. And then you look at, I mean, the one that really intrigues me the most is how bad is Florida State going to be? How much trouble is our boy Mike Norvell in there? And I talked to some people down in Florida, and there seems to be a growing concern around that state with Seminole fans that, hey, we sold out to go undefeated that one year.
Yep.
Got hosed, and then last year paid the price. I think partially they paid the price because I'm not a big Uiga Lele fan at all. I wasn't a fan at Clemson. You know, looked the part. I didn't think he was great at Oregon State. I thought the numbers were, you know, kind of inflated.
I think Jonathan Smith is great, and I think he can win with just about anything in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. So, yeah, no, dude, I'm literally pouring over right now when the phone rang, so I gotta submit. I'm trying to figure out what my favorite pick is. I'm leaning towards Bama and then just going as my top pick and then just going heavy chalk. I just think Bama's gonna
I think week one is always
Bama's gonna roll.
Week one's always a decent week to just be SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah. Well, I'm week 1 through 18, I'm that.
Yeah. The only thing that gives me a little hesitation on Bama is it is apparently supposed to pour in Tallahassee.
Yeah, that's a factor. So maybe I don't lock that one.
But
so
everyone
I
know,
the wizard of this. You're the one who makes people money.
Not anymore. I used to.
Here would be the five I was leaning towards. If right now, if you said you have to have this in 30 seconds,
okay.
I would probably go Bama, Boise, North Carolina State, TCU, and Ole Miss.
So the only thing I am a little worried about with Ole Miss is Ole Miss has Kentucky next week.
Yeah.
And I think that game absolutely haunts Lane.
Yeah, that does. Because they was. Yeah,
I believe it's now, George, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's down. It opened, I think, most of the week it was like 38.5. I think it's down to 34.5.
Yeah.
He normally just lights the scoreboard up in these games. The only hesitation I have is he going to sit there and go, all right, I saw what I needed in the first half. I'm playing nothing but backups in the second half.
See, I listened to you last week, and I didn't get a chance to watch the Hawaii-Stanford game because I was up at Ghost River in the outdoor bar for a Fleetwood Mac tribute band.
They didn't have that one on?
You can't turn on the outside TV when there's a band. And the Fleetwood Mac tribute band, by the way, if you like Fleetwood Mac and you get a chance to see this local band called Landslide, do it. They're fantastic. And they're really, really good people. And then so this Saturday, we actually have another one. We have an Eagles tribute band that I'll be out there, so I won't be able to watch either. So I'll have my phone like propped up while I'm pouring people beers and enjoying a wonderful night out. And if I can get out early, go see our boys with Shinedown over at the Forum before they take the stage.
Shout out Zach Myers,
my guy. I got to see him in Birmingham, man. You ever do that? Like when you know a friend who's like awesome at like what he does, and then you go and you watch, especially like, I mean, obviously athletes and musicians, but like I got to go up backstage and I've known Zach for a long time. We talk a lot of Grizzlies during the season. So he set me up in Birmingham. I drove down there and I'm telling you, watching him perform, I was like, I knew how awesome he was because I listened to their music all the time. Seeing him live, you're just like, this dude's friggin' like,
he's a virtuoso.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
I mean,
he's
like, I think he's been playing the guitar like since like he was able to like pick up a guitar.
I will never forget the first time I met him. We met watching Eric Gales, who's a local guitar player that a lot of people compare to Jimi Hendrix because he's left-handed and is phenomenal. And Zach, it's one of the reasons why I've always had a lot of respect for Zach. Zach said, I play guitar for a living with a really, really good rock band. And I watch Eric Gales and I go, I can't do that. And that's when you know someone's like awesome at what they do, when they can say, when they can recognize other people being great too. You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, it was kind of like I liked Mayer's first album. And after that, I was kind of take it or leave it.
Yeah.
But I still always acknowledged, like, even if I didn't like him, I was like, he's so damn good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you see that type of talent, it's just overwhelming.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's fun. So, yeah, looking forward to that. So, looking forward to the weekend. All right, so you're the one who makes money. I heard Writer Than Write trivia this morning. Good job. Well played. I actually knew a few of the answers, yelling them in the car. People think I'm crazy. What are your top guys? What are your top looks this week there, buddy?
Cobb, I'm at the point now, I'm in my own head, where it's like I have – games that I think are like absolute locks, and then now it's like 25-year-old me would have been a much better betting like this because I would have just been like, I'm convinced I'm right. But now it's like when you've been gambling for 20 years, you've learned like, okay, it's not this. So Cobb, you said you liked Bama too, right?
Oh, I love Bama. I mean, obviously the weather concerns there are real. Because
I can make an argument though, the weather's good for that. If indeed Alabama's as good up front as they say on both lines of scrimmage, you don't have to throw.
It's soupy, but Jeffrey, you're spraying the board. Like Eric, don't let him like sound like some sort of a coward, a week one coward. He's spraying the board, and not just Saturday. He's got multiple plays for tonight.
Okay,
tonight's slate is hot garbage. So.
All right, so Cincinnati's been eyeing me, and I openly admit this might be I just hate Dylan Raiola, but I'm taking.
So do a lot of people apparently.
Like it's the classic. Why would you want Cincinnati at 6.5? So I'm going to take it, knowing full well that's dumb.
Yep.
I got Oklahoma State taking on my mom's alma mater, UT Martin. I got it at 23. It was like, I think it's like 26. That's not enough. I've got Mizzou -37.5 against Central Arkansas.
Yeah.
I got the good closing line value. Shout out to my brain. I took Miami of Ohio getting 17.5 at Wisconsin. That's now up to 18.5. So that's, you know, nothing like seeing that number go the other way.
I've seen a lot of that. A lot of people are not sure about Wisconsin.
And then I made a 5-team money line parlay.
Okay.
Rutgers, NC State, Central Florida, Wyoming, Minnesota. And then on Saturday, I don't know. I think Auburn's going to put Baylor in a bad spot. So I like Auburn tomorrow.
Okay.
I like LSU. It should be noted, I think I've lost week one bets on LSU now like 5 years in a row. But this time it's different.
Is that the slogan? Is that what's on the media guide? This time it's different.
Yeah, this time it's different. And I don't know why, Cobb, you can disagree. You can push back on this one. I kind of like Miami.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
I think Carson Beck's played more than CJ Carr.
Yeah, but here's the problem. He didn't practice in the spring. He's coming back from elbow surgery on his throwing arm, and he's got
a totally
unproven crop of receivers. And if the rain is still there in South Florida, I mean, you know Notre Dame wants to run the ball. You know that defense is going to be nasty. So, like, CJ Carr is going to have to throw the ball nine times in that game.
Oh, Cobb, I love the Vols.
Yeah?
Just in general?
Josh Heupel is like 13-3 in non-conference games. Syracuse is replacing the nation's leading passer, a 1,000-yard rusher, a 1,000-yard receiver, another receiver that led the ACC in catches. I'm just not sure Syracuse is a team that like replaces that.
Reloads that fast. I was kind of looking at the Vols too.
And while I don't love Aguilar, I do love Tennessee's defense.
Yeah, Syracuse is going to be in for serious regression this year. And speaking of weather, Eric, what in the world with your alma mater? UC Davis makes the trip to Montgomery, Alabama,
right.
Has the lead in the fourth quarter last week, and then they call the game due to weather? I mean,
Did the game count?
No, they said it's just listed as canceled everywhere. I know, that stinks because it was two top 15 FCS teams and taking on Mercer. Again, a game I was trying to watch, and I kept looking at the score, and then all of a sudden it's like delayed. I'm like, all right, well, hopefully they'll finish it. Canceled. Long flight home, boys, to play a game that didn't count.
Oh, and you know that flight was commercial, too.
No question.
That's probably why they couldn't resume.
Yeah, I bet they had a plane. They had to catch the plane.
Then the next day, that's probably why.
All right, my man. Yeah. We wish you luck.
I wish you guys the best of luck, and we'll talk some NFL next week. We'll start getting ready for Grizz season in a couple of weeks. And then, boy, man, before we know it, we're going to be in like midweek, mid-season college football, and regular season basketball is going to be starting.
Well, our heads will be spinning in all the sports.
Best time of year.
Be good.
All right. See you guys.
That is Eric Hasseltine. We come back. Let's get into the list. USA Today has come up with a list of the 25 most powerful people in college football. I want to talk about that with Cobb. We'll do it next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.